Welcome to today's AvWeb AudioCast for Monday, October 2nd, 2006, sponsored by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News. The FAA on Friday published its final version of a controversial rule affecting crankshafts in 3,774 Lycoming 0360 and 540 series engines. The Airworthiness Directive, effective November 3rd, requires owners to replace the crankshaft either at normal overhaul when the crankcase is split for any reason or within 12 years of the time the crankshaft was put into service. Replacement parts will cost about $16,000 per engine. Lycoming is offering to reduce that price to $2,000 for 3 years. If the routine overhaul is done at the Lycoming factory, the crankshaft will be replaced with no additional charge, but that hasn't satisfied all the owners, who note that in a previous crankshaft AD, the company bore the entire cost of the repair. And so, there's the court system. One owner in California has filed a class action suit calling for Lycoming to do the same this time. Lycoming has declined comment on that suit. Pilot advocate groups did not keep quiet during the rulemaking process, but many of the words held very little sway with the FAA. The Cessna Pilots Association, or CPA, objected to the proposed AD, saying there should be no calendar time mandated and compliance should be determined based on the type of operations for which the aircraft is used. The FAA did not agree. John Frank, CPA Executive Director, wrote, "The crankshafts that the FAA will require to be replaced at owner expense under this NPRM are equally and identically as flawed as those that were replaced at Lycoming's expense under AD 2002-1903. AOPA argued that aircraft owners should be allowed to continue to use their engine until reaching time for overhaul based on hours without any arbitrary calendar deadline. The FAA said variations in the crankshaft anomalies make it impossible to predict when failure might occur, according to the AD. Advocate groups are also following very closely the probability that some type of user fees will be imposed on some segments of aircraft owners and operators. The FAA's position that user fees are the answer to declining resources in the Aviation Trust Fund found little support on Capitol Hill last week, according to AOPA. At a hearing held by a House Aviation Subcommittee on Wednesday, Representative Jerry Costello said the Congressional Budget Office projects a growing surplus in the fund. Costello said this new information raises questions about the administrator's claim that there is a revenue crisis at the FAA. The FAA is saying it expects to need as much as $15 billion over the next 15 years to get the next generation air transportation system up and running. According to the FAA, that means more money must come from somewhere. But the CBO report suggests that the current revenue streams will cover it. Witnesses at the hearing said it's not clear how much it will cost to modernize the system. According to a report by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, no comprehensive estimate of the system's cost has been developed. The result, said Representative Sam Graves, is that the discussion is putting the cart ahead of the horse when we don't know what we will need. Searchers who parachuted in on Saturday to the crash site where a Boeing 737-800 went down Friday afternoon found no sign of survivors. The wreckage was located in a remote jungle area in the Amazon region of Brazil. The 737, with 155 souls on board, was en route from Manaus to Brasilia when it crashed. Seven people aboard a Legacy 600 executive jet flying in the area felt a jolt, and the pilot found the airplane was damaged. He made a safe emergency landing at an Air Force base. Early reports said the two jets had collided in the air, but later reports said those on board the Legacy saw only a shadow, and the jet may have been hit by debris. "We recognize that is an unusual collection of words, and we'll watch for reports that clarify that situation." An online photo shows damage to the left wingtip and stabilizer on the Legacy. As GA pilots become more increasingly dependent on GPS signals not only for navigation but for instrument approaches, it now appears that it may be possible for the signals to be disrupted by solar flares. Right now, that's not a problem because the sun is in a quiet phase, but it's expected to get active again in the year 2011. That seems a long way off, but it'll be here before you know it. The intense solar flares could cause GPS signals used by aircraft navigation and emergency location systems to degrade by up to 90% for hours at a time. GPS has become ubiquitous during a quiet solar period, and no easy fix for the problem is immediately apparent. In a long-awaited study that was released last week, the Department of Defense says its tests have shown that large wind farms degrade the effectiveness of military radar if they are located within the line of sight of the installation. However, air traffic control radar systems used by the FAA are much less prone to such interference. According to the report, ATC radars can rely on both primary radar returns and transponder returns to ensure safe airspace operations. The presence of a wind farm does not appear to significantly affect the performance of those systems. However, the report notes that decisions about wind farm impacts on ATC radar are up to the FAA. Atom Aircraft of Inglewood, Colorado last week received an amended type certificate from the FAA for its A500 piston twin. The TC now okays the airplane for night and IFR operations, for single pilot operation, and cabin pressurization up to 12,500 feet. Operating altitude expansion to 25,000 feet is on hold until de-icing certification tests are completed over the winter. The TC was originally handed over in May of 2005, but with numerous limitations. Atom was recently awarded an FAA production certificate, allowing it to ramp up its production process. The company has a 2-year backlog of orders for that airplane. The FAA last week established a forum of airline, labor, and medical experts to review the long-debated rule established in 1959 that requires airline pilots to retire at age 60. The forum will recommend whether the U.S. should adopt the new International Civil Aviation Organization standard due to take effect in November that will allow one of two pilots on the flight deck to be over the age of 60. The forum also will determine what actions would be necessary if the FAA were to change its rule. The FAA must ensure that any future rule change, should it occur, provides an equal or better level of safety to passengers, said FAA head Marion Blakey. Find all these stories and more online today at avweb.com. Comments on this podcast are always welcome. Just email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, October 6th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.